Parshas Baleisra, in a way, is a turning point.
Where's the menorah?
Sorry?
Where's the menorah for the Shia?
The what?
The menorah.
The menorah. Well, it actually is doing something else. And you'd understand why I prefer not to bring what I'm working on now. I'm actually talking about Pesach Sheni. And I don't think a rabbi would like me to bring a goat or a sheep in here. So, in Parshas Baleisra, Rabbi Yisrael in Perik Tes, Posuk Aleph. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana HaShenis. So let's get the date over here. Here we're talking about the second year of leaving Mitzrayim, on the Chodesh HaRishon. It's talking about the first month. In other words, you're talking about Nisan, the second year of leaving Mitzrayim. So Rashi brings down that this isn't quite in order, because the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, in the Mamash Pasuk Aleph, in other words, the Sefer Bamidbar begins with Aleph Iyar. And then, Parshas Baleisra, we start talking about Chodesh Nisan. Says Rashi, Parshas Baleisra Sefer Nemra ad Iyar. In other words, the first Parshas Baleisra says an Iyar. Lom the Mazatosh Shein Seder Mugdim Ucha Batayra. There's no order in the Torah. Because it was to the disadvantage, it was to the gnai, to the
disgrace
of Klal Yisrael. Shekol aboim shana shol Yisrael b'midbar, all 40 years in midbar, leikriva ela pesach zu bevad, they only brought one time a korban pesach because they had children who needed bris milah and they couldn't do it. The kitzur, we have this parsha. Now, the question therefore is that it's clear that parshas b'midbar, the sefer b'midbar, did not want to begin with this concept of Pesach Sheni, because it's Gnai. So why sneak it in here in the middle of Parshas Baleisra Dafka? Why Dafka over here? Okay, what's the deal of having over here? Don't have it beginning, have it somewhere else. Why Dafka over here? I'd like to explain that with a beautiful piece I saw from the Tolner Rebbe, which is based on the Sfas Emes and Parshas Veschanon. And he says, Stam, what's the whole concept over here of Pesach Sheni? Where do we find anywhere else in the Torah that people come along and they complain, and because they weren't able to do the first Pesach because they were Tomei, Hashem gives them another opportunity.
Second chance.
Where do we find that? Let's say, for example, this year, Halacha Lemaisa, this year in Manchester, in England, it rained so badly the entire sukkahs that they could not sit and be yotzei the mitzvah for the entire sukkahs once. It was raining from beginning of sukkahs to the end, and they could not be yotzei the mitzvah sukkahs. By the way, Mark Twain said towards the end of his life he wants to move there because the transition between life and death will be unnoticeable. Okay? So therefore, it was that weather, it was raining. They can't come along and say, okay, that's it. You know, middle of the summer, let's make sukkahs now when it's nice weather. You don't find this opportunity. What idea is it, what concept is it that they came along and they complained and they got the mitzvah. Furthermore, if you look into the parasha carefully, and this is brought out very clearly in the Mishnah and Pesachim, there are major fundamental differences between the way you kept the Pesach Rishon and the way you kept the Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon, you weren't allowed to have any chometz in your home. In fact, if you had chometz, you weren't allowed to bring the korban Pesach. And there's an issur to have chometz in a bayis. Pesach Sheni, you can have chometz in your home. You can have chometz, you mustn't eat together, but you can have chometz in your home, no problem. Yeah, you have to eat matzahs together with it, but you have chometz in your home, no problem, number one. Number two, the way it was brought was very different as well. The way it was brought, for example, in the halacha of Halel, in the Asiyah, when they brought the korban Pesach, when it was done as a korban Pesach, it was done in a Halel, everyone said Halel together, and it was done in a great pomp and elegance in the Beis HaMikdash. But when they brought the Pesach Sheni, there's no din of saying Halel by the Shechita. There's no din. What's the din behind that? Furthermore, even more, the Rambam brings down, it's very interesting from the quote from the Gemara, that Pesach Sheni only exists if there was a Pesach Rishon. If Pesach Rishon, let's say everyone was Tomei, then they say Tum Hutra B'Tzibur. But let's say for some reason Pesach Rishon never existed, Pesach Sheni wouldn't exist. Only on the backdrop of Pesach Rishon do we have a Pesach Sheni. Why? Why should it be the same?
I'm talking about halacha.
No, this was Adar Bet is where we move all the halachas from Adar Aleph into this. Here we're keeping all the mitzvahs in Pesach, everyone who was not Tohir, who was Tohir, I'm sorry, and was not far away, kept Pesach Rishon. And then there's a second chance for Pesach Sheni, those people who weren't. And therefore there's a sort of a split. We don't find it anywhere. What's the idea? What's the concept behind this? So the Sfasemes, it's a diuk in the Sfasemes, the Tolner brings it up beautifully. He said, the concept of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni can very much be compared to Luchos Rishonus, Luchos Shnius. Luchos Rishonus was done in a way very differently to Luchos Shnius. Luchos Rishonus, in fact, the Gemara brings down, the Midrashim brings down, the Rashi brings down, that it was not done in the ideal form. In fact, quote to the Gemara, Medrash. The Medrash says,
but if we learn, we won't forget.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
Advantage.
So he said, Luchos Rishonus al shenitnu bepumbi, lefikach sholte behem ein horav nishtabru. Because it was done in a very public form, there was an ein hora to it, and that's why it got broken. There's a Yalkut Shemoni brings, Luchos Rishonus nitnu bekoilos. It was done in a loud, in a form that was very, very public. It was loud, that's why it got broken. Rashi brings down, Harishonus Adeshah Hoyo Bechuas Bekoilos Kehilos. It was done with everybody around, that's why it got broken. It seems from here, therefore, that it was not the ideal to have Luchos Rishonus brought down in public. And that's why Luchos Shnius were not broken, right? And therefore there was a problem with bringing down in this public forum. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. So he says, Lamaisa, you have to understand as follows. That there are two fundamental times that a relationship develops. Let's take a marriage. Yeah? A person doesn't have a wedding every day. But when a person does have a wedding, it's done in public. It is done with noise. I'm sure you know, to go into Israeli weddings, there's noise. Yeah? Sure. And it's done with a lot of dancing and simcha. And that is an affair that is a once-off, hopefully, affair. Yeah, sometimes it happens twice, sometimes three times, but it doesn't happen on a regular basis.
You need earplugs.
You need more than earplugs. Yeah, you need to pull out the amplifiers. Yeah, but it's a celebration that is done in an enormous pomp. It's done with enormous enthusiasm, and people are dancing and shticking. But ultimately, as soon as the chasm finishes and the lights go out, it's over. It's over. What keeps it going and what keeps relationship going are the breakfasts, the lunches, the small things that are much on a much lower key, but are necessary in order to keep it going. It's much less impressive, much less elegant, much less exciting, but that is what you need to keep it going. Says the Sfasemes, that was the difference between Luchos Rishonus and Luchos Shnius. Luchos Rishonus, Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. They're leaving Memteh Sharei Tumah. They're Avodim of Pari. They're coming now and they're going and becoming Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There, they needed a very impressive light and sound show. They needed Koilos, they needed Barakim, they needed a Kol HaHar Oshein, the whole thing was on fire. It was impressive because they had to put tremendous impact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control here. Everything else in the world went quiet, the birds never tweet, the trees stopped moving. It was incredibly impressive. But it was not something that you can keep up. It's not something they can have every day. It's not something that Kodesh Baruch Hu can appear to Klal Yisrael, it happened once and never ever happened again. And therefore Luchos Rishonus was the wedding, as it were. It was the very impressive wedding that afterwards, all you're left with really is sometimes the bills to pay. But you needed that enthusiastic beginning to have it go, to keep it going. Luchos Shnius was quiet. Luchos Shnius was the coffee you have together, the meals you have together, much less impressive, much less exciting, but ultimately what keeps the relationship going. That was done with no pomp, no grandeur, wasn't done with, but that's what keeps it going. But if you never had the wedding in the first place, if you never had that exciting time, you couldn't do the Luchos Shnius. If you never had that wedding, you couldn't sit down for the coffee. You've got to have this bond, you've got to have this exciting, you know, in Yiddish you say a traskel, a big noise and everything else to make everything exciting, and then you can roll over and keep it moving. But you've got to start off with a tremendous energy at the beginning. Therefore Luchos Rishonus was not a mistake. Luchos Rishonus prepared us for Luchos Shnius. That's Luchos Shem, Luchos Shnias, and therefore, ultimately, you're right, Luchos Shem has disappeared, Luchos Shnias stays on. Pesach is an incredibly important Yom Tov. Pesach is more important, in fact, than any other mitzvah saseh. There's no other mitzvah saseh besides Bris Milah that identifies a Jew as being a Jew. There's no other mitzvah like a Korban Pesach that if you don't do, you get koris. There are plenty of veiros that a person does, he gets koris. But an aseh, a positive mitzvah, if you don't do Korban Pesach, you get koris. Why? Because that is the mitzvah that represents a bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It shows us HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from Avodim, Hashem is in control of the world, he brought us over and he killed all the Bechorim, he saved us, he brought us out into a nation, he separated us from who we were to who we are, and this is something that is incredibly important, that is the Pesach. And the Pesach is done to such an extent that we have to take a week of very focused relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and say to everything else, we have Ruchnis and we have Gashnis. This week, we are focusing only on our bond with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have Ruchnius. What's Ruchnius? Brought down in many places. The Chometz is Gaiva, the Chometz is Taiva, the Chometz is represents the Gashmius, yeah? And the Matzah represents Ruchnius. It's to a bread of Ruchnius. That is Ruchnius. And therefore, what do we do on Pesach? We take a week where we say, get rid of all Gashmius. Get rid of all Gaiva. Get rid of all of who we are and let's focus on Ruchnis. Let's focus on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let's focus on just having Matzah. And we work on this to such an extent, it is like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Pesach cannot be a whole year. You can't keep Pesach going the whole year. You can't have just Matzah the whole year. After a week of Matzah, you really look different, right? There's no way you can keep Matzah the whole year. Enough is enough. Yeah, look at the lines outside the pizza shop on Matzah Pesach, right? This is not something you can keep up. But for 1 week, we say, you know what? We are going to do this. We're going to get rid of any element, any aspect of Gashmius, and we're sitting there just enjoying the Ruchnius with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is, as it were, the wedding. It's 1 week where we celebrate to an incredibly concentrated effort of just focusing on Ruchnius. But that is not something that can continue long term. And therefore, what do we need? What do we need sometimes? We need the smaller, quieter elements of a Pesach Sheni. We need sometimes where you have the Chometz in the house. We're not so wonderful. Yeah, but it's ongoing. This is a quieter thing. We can have a Pesach, we can have a Chometz in the house. It's much on a far lower key kind of Yom Tov. In fact, there's no even Big Hallel. By Pesach Rishon, it's Big Hallel, and people dancing and singing in the Beis Midrash. No, we're just keeping this quiet. We're just keeping this going. We keep it on a low flame. We're moving this on. So Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni is really the representation of Luchos Rishonim, Luchos Shnius. Where on one of them, it's concentrated, it's powerful, and that sets the tone for the next one to follow on, that we can continue, you know, in that, like a big ship, and you have like behind it, it leaves the ripples. We can continue in that path in a lower key, but it can be continued a much longer. And therefore, this Pesach Sheni is not just representing a particular mitzvah that happened then. Pesach Sheni is the focus of what a Jew's life should look like. We have Yomim Tovim, and we have regular days. Yeah, we can't. Not every day is a Yom Tov. On the other hand, you know, we need the Yom Tovim to keep us going. If you look into this Parshas Vayishlach. If you look at Parshas Vayishlach carefully, where we're holding here in Perek Tes is really getting towards we've peaked. In the Torah, we've peaked. We have Matan Torah. We have Vayikra is all about the Korbanos and various mitzvahs. We have Bamidbar where everyone's being put into exact order. Klal Yisrael know now what they're supposed to be doing, who they are, how they're supposed to be traveling, where they're supposed to be, they're being organized, that everything is done, mamash musudah. They're perfectly, they're traveling in unison, they're all going towards, they know exactly where they're going, and where they're going, they're going towards Eretz Yisrael. They're mamash on their way there, all the way to, before the Meraglim, everything is going great. Everything is going very, very well. In fact, not only have we counted them and put them in the Nesi'im, we have the Levim exactly where they're supposed to be, we made them Tohar, and then we have Parshas Vayishlach. And from Parshas Vayishlach, things start going dipping. We have in this week's parasha, we have the running away from Har Sinai like a child runs away from a base from school. Then we have this Misoinin there where they grumble, and then we have Meraglim, and we have Koirach, and we have Meimeriva, and we have one thing after you have Baal Pa'or, we're going down, and we're going down, and we're going down, and we're going down, and we're going down. And we have, then what follows on? We have the 3 weeks. And we have, then we have Tisha B'Av. And we have it, it's a difficult time. So we've sort of peaked, we've gone Pesach and Shavuos, we're doing very well, and all of a sudden Parsha Baal Yitzchak, one difficult Parsha after the other, and just to cap it all off, just in case we think we can get into Elul intact, we have summer vacation. Yeah, you're going here, you're going there, you don't know where you are, your suitcases, your restaurant, everything is all thrown in. And Parshas Baal Yitzchak, therefore, we took this parsha of Pesach Sheni and put it over here in this week's parsha to say, yes, we have Pesach, and yes, we have Spiros HaOmer, and yes, we have Shavuos. Those are our times of the wedding. But remember the Pesach Sheni. Remember the times when you've got to keep things going on, when things aren't so clear, when things aren't a little bit darker, when things aren't so great. Therefore, this Pesach Sheni is an introduction to how we should be running our life on the regular days where it isn't a honeymoon. We are just attempting to keep things going. Keep the Pesach Sheni. Do what you can. If it's not good enough for you, say, Rebbeinu Shlomo, I need your help. I need you here. There's a very, very beautiful piece of the Shinever of Chaskel Shinever. It brings down Divrei Cheskel. Chaskel Shinever says, he's a son of Rebbe. Fantastic piece. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, he doesn't know what to do. Right, doesn't know what to do. So he says, one second. So they come along and say to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me what we're supposed to do. Moshe says to them, Imdu ve'eshmo, this is empiric test, posuk ches, stand over here and listen, ma yitzaveh Hashem lachem, what is a Kodesh Baruch Hu going to answer you? Yeah? So what does Rashi say? No Rashi, sorry. The Medrash says, No, Rashi does say it. Rashi says in Vayikra. Where is this? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Rashi says, Ashri Yiludesho, in Pasuk Zayin. Lucky is a man born to a woman. Shekach Muftach, Shekol Zman Shoy Reitzo Hoi Medabe Im Ashkina. In other words, he says, stand here, and I'll get you through. It's like a person, it's impossible to get through to some people, right? They've got call waiting, they've got this and that. The guy pulls, could you speak to President Donald Trump? One second, here's a number, right? And he gets you through, and he'll answer my call, right? And he does, right? And here Moshe Rabbeinu says, just stand there, Kosh Baruch Hu will answer my call. Kosh Baruch Hu, I need you right now. Oop, HaKosh Baruch Hu there, gives him the voice. After this Chasu Shinova, Moshe Rabbeinu is an Olav Mikol Odom. He's the most humble man there is. How can he be so presumptuous and say, oh, Rabbi, just wait here, we'll get you through. He's Olav Mikol Odom. So he says a fantastic vort, and he says that when it comes to Gashmius, we can daven. I'm entitled to daven, I'm supposed to daven. Sometimes a Kosh Baruch Hu does not agree with our tefillahs. I know you're davening, I hear you. I hear every single tefillah, but it's wrong. In a bigger plan, it's wrong. I don't think this is right for you, unless I'm not giving it to you. Whether it's for panosa, whether it's for help, whether it's for a shidduch, it doesn't matter. Kosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not listening. When it comes to Ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always delivers. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I need your help to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help to overcome my task, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I've got no special connections over here. You have the connection, because you are asking to have the Korban Pesach, you are asking for Ruchnius, you wait here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always answers that. There's a beautiful piece. I mean, look at I always had this question. And just saw it now. It's fantastic. The Igeres HaRamban. So Igeres HaRamban has a whole piece over here. Tells how it's answered to prepare. And he says at the end, and read it every day, every once a week. And he says, Ubayoyim shetikra'ena. On the day that you read it, Yanucha min ha-shamayim. You'll be answered from Shemayim. Kashiyale levobcha. Anything asked, Lishal ad oilam. You'll always be answered. Anything asked on that day, you'll be answered. It's not true. I've asked for Kodesh Baruch Hu different things on the day of Reni Geras Ramban, and I was not answered. So how can you make such a haftacha? The teretz is, he's not talking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me a new car. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give my wife a new kitchen. He's talking about the midas that a person's supposed to have, how important the midas are, how terrible gaiva is, how terrible taiva is, how wonderful anova is, how wonderful speaking nice to people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you ask for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed to answer you on that day. Because that is what Ruchnis is all about. So this parasha is not Sam randomly put in over here. It's supposed to guide us to the difficult times that's coming ahead of us, the various difficult parashas, and the various difficult times ahead, and as Hashem, with our crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, He will certainly do that. Yes,
Shukriya. Oh, yeah.